Let me start now. Let's get our Bibles open. We're going to look at God's Word together. And we're going to be in the New Testament, so let's just open it up to the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we'll be kind of in that area. And if it's your first Sunday here, I want to welcome you. If it's your first Sunday watching online, you're welcome here. My name is Rob. I'm the lead pastor here at this church. And I want to talk to you about money. Now, if it's your first Sunday, you're probably thinking like I would have back in the day, like, I knew it, you know. I said, that one time you invited me here, the pastor would be preaching on money, and he'd be talking about just giving and that kind of stuff. And so I hope that you sense that, hey, after almost 7 years here, over 200 sermons, I've actually never preached to you about money. I've talked to you about first fruits, about having God as the first fruit in every area of our life. God should be first in every area, but not actually speaking about money. I want you to know, though, I'm not going to ask you to give a nickel. I'm not talking about tithing. I'm not talking about offerings. I just want you to have a heart perspective that's biblically based about our money. Would that be okay? I know I'm walking on like there's not thin ice here, but I'm like, you know, I understand that we all have different perspectives about money, and we've all heard different things about money. And again, I hope that you could trust me that we could look at God's Word in a very mature, healthy, not judgmental, nobody's worried. We're all just having this healthy conversation that we'd have at home with our spouse and all that kind of good stuff. We've got to be able to have a perspective about money as well, though. And I know full well that sometimes it's hard to talk about. Let me share a story with you. I'm so glad this happened, because every time something bad happens, my husband, that'll preach one day. So this last week, we had to refinance our home. So we locked in for another 3 years at a certain percentage, and there was a renewal date. So we went with a different lender, a different bank. I communicated all that. About 5 months ago, we started this process. It came down to all of a sudden the renewal date was due, and the money wasn't coming. It's not coming until Tuesday. I said, well, there's a variance here, guys. Like, what's going on? I've told you everything. I'm not responsible. Did you know that yesterday I lost $84.88? As I'm speaking to you today, I'm losing $84.88. Monday is the same thing. Tuesday is the same thing. Ah! Nobody is responsible but this guy right here that you're looking at. Are you kidding me? Why am I paying the bill? I signed the papers. Like, what is going on here? So I understand the tension with money. I think I'm okay, honestly. Thank you for allowing me to get that off my chest. I know that there's tension when we talk about money. You want to fry someone's bacon? Mess around with their money. You know, like, you get fired up. So I understand that. But can we again just kind of just pause and we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay at the end of this conversation. I asked Pastor Ben, because I didn't want to, you know, embarrass anybody else or make them uncomfortable. So Pastor Ben's going to come. We're going to do just a quick illustration. He doesn't even know. I didn't prep him. I just said, do you have your wallet on you? He said, yeah. I said, that's important for this illustration. Okay, so illustration number one. Let's pull out your wallet. Well, I promise I'll give it back to you. Okay, so we both know this, and you can see there's a big box of Kraft Dinner over there. So this coming month, we're trying to gather or get as much Kraft Dinner as we can together to give to the food bank. So let's you and I give now to the food bank. Mate, where's your money in here? Dude, you're loaded, man. There's a red one in there. I only got a purple one. You're not very generous. What's wrong with you, man? Okay, now, okay, let's. Can I borrow 50? Actually, no, I'm joking. Okay. Hey, there's this fundraiser we're doing. We're going to try and raise as much Kraft Dinner as we can for the food bank. Would you be willing to give to that? I think my heart has a different opinion right now, because now it's my money. Not an interesting thought. Give it up for Pastor Ben. Awesome guy. He's got lots of money. I want you to think about that for a second, though. If you are holding somebody else's wallet or somebody else's money, and somebody asks you to be generous with it, how do you feel about that? Oh, man, I feel free. I feel excited to give. Oh, all day long. No skin off my back. But then when we hold our own money, does our mind, does our heart speak a different tone? That's my money. And I think when we come to the Word of God and we come to our relationship with Jesus, God created everything. And it all belongs to Him. And we are to be stewards and managers of everything that He entrusts to us. So if God ever asked you for anything in return, how would you feel about that? Since it's all His. It's not yours. It's His. And we can talk about 10% and giving tithes and offerings. He actually wants 100% of it. And He wants us to have a right perspective about it, a godly perspective. See, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't follow the ways of Jesus or be generous when I was, you know, outside of the church. When I got saved, did something internally change? Yeah, my attitude changed, my addictions changed, but in this one box, I kind of kept the money box aside. Hey, God, I got this all figured out. I'm on a budget. I know what it's like to not have money. You know, I know what it's like to hold a $50 bill and say, you got to eat this week with that. And that's all you had. There's no credit card. There's no line of credit. Like, you had 50 bucks to eat. I understand that tension. And so now that I actually have, I don't have 50s. I only have 10s in my wallet. But anyways, you know, you've got some money now and you're like, God, it's still my money and I'm going to still kind of do with it as I wish. That is a challenge for you and I. And I hope you feel that weight, because it becomes a heart issue. And so I want to look at this together with you in just a moment. We'll get to the scripture, I promise. But I've got a slide here. I really want to be transparent with you. We have nothing to hide as a church. And so because we just went through the AGM, because God had put on my heart months and months ago, He said, after the AGM, I want you to speak on money. I want you to just open it up and we'll all be okay. And so at the AGM, you'll see this slide here about what did we actually budget? Like, what was the budget to pay all the bills for the year? And what did we bring in? And so we look at the top line. We see $432,000 was to take care of all of our ministries and all of our bills. We collectively, pastors tithe as well and give generously, we actually brought in $495,000, almost $500,000 last year. Hey, in 2023, our budget was about $407,000. Things just get more expensive as the years go on. But we actually collectively gave $495,000. You look back 3 years ago, our budget was $379,000, and we collectively gave $472,000. Do I need your money? Does God need your money? Am I preaching to you about tithing because we're in the red? Not even close. But we've got to have a right perspective about money. So I want you to be able to just kind of pause and reflect and say, okay, I'm okay. We're not at God's, Pastor Rob's not asking about my wallet. He's not asking about what I'm giving. But I want us to have, again, a heart reflection upon this. Why is this important? I think you're going to trip across this in your Bible constantly. Let me just give you a couple thought processes. Jesus spoke more about money than He spoke about faith. Faith to move mountains and mustard. I understand faith. It's a great thing to talk about. We should preach about that. You should write books about that. He spoke more about money than that. He spoke more about money than He talked about prayer. Are you kidding me? Prayer? The Lord's Prayer? Thou shalt, we should know lots about prayer. But Jesus talked more about money than, do you know what faith and prayer together? He talked more about money than them combined together. That is ridiculous to think about. If you think about the 40-ish parables that are in the New Testament, when we read in the Gospels, the red letters, He spoke more about those parables. About a quarter of them were referring to finances and money. So to make that emphasis, I would say like one in every 10 or about a tenth of what Jesus said and read referred to a story about money or about money. Do you think that might be important to understand a little bit of? And after 7 years and 200 messages, is it okay if I share with you? I really wanted to say to somebody right now, just get up and just storm out and slam the door. Just make it totally awkward in the room. See, now the other thing that you're thinking about is, I really need to use the washroom, but I'm not getting up now because that's going to look really awkward now. I'm just please, this is a relaxing conversation. I want to have some fun with you this morning. So we've got two stories. One we know super well, one we might not be so familiar with, but let's look into Luke chapter 16. There's two stories that we'll be kind of referring back to, but this is where the thought came from originally. I was doing my devotions, I'm reading through Luke chapter 16, and in verse 13 it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. And when I read those kind of things, I'm like, okay, where else does it say that? And where's the Greek word of that? And where else can I find it? And so if we were to flip back, I apologize, we're jumping around just for a moment. If we went back to Matthew chapter 6. So this story in Luke, the parable of the shrewd manager, if we go back to Matthew chapter 6, the only other chapter and verse where the same root Greek word comes from, mammon, we see in Matthew 6, 24. It's the very same verse. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and you can't serve money. And this subheading is under treasures in heaven. So there's two different teachings here about the same concept, about not serving mammon, money, and serving God. You've got to have only one master. You can't serve both. And so that word is used here in direct opposition to God. You either serve God or you serve this mammon. And if you were to do a bit of research, now it preaches really nicely, but I don't think it's super accurate. So if we looked back in ancient times, they looked at all the different kind of little g gods. They served a god of the sun and the moon and the stars and the harvest time. They served all these different gods. And one could refer to as, well, there was a god of mammon. There was a god of money. So you can't serve this idol god of money. You've got to be able to serve God of the Bible. And so that preaches nicely, but that's pretty hard to prove scientifically or any kind of history. But it's very clear here that this word that shows up twice in the New Testament is very clear. It's talking about money, mammon. So I don't want to serve mammon. It's even a hard word to say versus serving God. Very easy to say, like God to God. Okay, let's look at two stories that would reflect a heart condition when it comes to money. So I'm flipping back, and I apologize. We're going to go back to Luke. We were in Luke 16. Let's go back to Luke 19. And there's a very simple story about Zacchaeus, and we know a lot of us, maybe even this morning in Sunday school, they're being taught Zacchaeus, a little short guy up in a tree. Jesus comes by, so let's just read that story. And then I want to show you a different story of another heart condition about somebody else. Now, let's be honest here. Both of these people are well off. They're well off financially. And we would think, well, you're not talking to me then, because I only got 10 bucks in my wallet. You know, like, no, he's talking to all of us. If you live here in Canada, North America, I don't care if you shop at the food bank every week to get by, or you live in a big house or whatever. We are rich in this country compared to most of the world. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. We have a lot, so it's easy, and we should be able to share. So let's read these guys. So Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, here now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. So the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So again, we see very, very clearly here, like there is something changed in his heart. Zacchaeus, I'm going to unpack this in just a moment. A tax collector, was loaded. You know, he probably did crooked things to get ahead. So he had tons of money. For him to give half of it away, something's changed in his heart, because he was focused on me, 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 collect, 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 bigger, 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 bigger bank accounts. And then all of a sudden, something changed. Possessions had no more value. Possessions and money had no more hold over him, if we could say like that. There was salvation came to that man's house. So what happens? The heart change becomes a financial change as well. In ancient times, and so Jesus was referred to like this, as like a rabbi. Somebody would, like, when Jesus said, "Come follow me," they would be like, "Oh, I'm going to follow this person and their teachings." And when the people that followed the rabbi or the teacher started to really understand what they were teaching over years and years and years, usually their possessions would change. We see in the book of Acts, all of a sudden, everybody sold everything they had and everybody shared everything they had. Heart condition, heart change. And so we see in Zacchaeus, it's the same thing here. In just a conversation with Jesus, his heart melts, his heart changes, his priorities change. They're not so focused anymore on money and possessions and worldly things. They're focused on eternal things. That's a wonderful thing to do. I want to unpack just a bit of the story in Luke, and then we'll go look at the other story about the young man who comes to Jesus in Mark chapter 10 in a second. So the first thing we've got to understand is where Jericho is. I have got a photo this morning of where Jericho is kind of positioned in the world or in that time and on these roads. And so Jericho is a border city. It's one of the wealthiest cities in Palestine and one a major road. You have to go through Jericho. You can see it's in a bit of a valley there. And so the produce and the fruit and the palm trees that grew there is because it was in a good position. Too high up in the mountains, it's desert. But where it was located, it was, you know, excellent grounds to grow things. And so when Omley and I went down to Palm Springs, Palm Desert, we got to go through a national park where there was the Joshua Tree National Park. And so this certain part of the world, Joshua trees could grow really well. Well, in certain parts of the world, the sycamore tree can grow really well, like in a place like Jericho. And the other photo I have is of an actual sycamore tree, because sometimes we live over here, we don't have these kind of trees. You can see this is like kid friendly. This is like, you know, parent nightmare, all those kind of things, right? Limbs really low to the ground, so even if Zacchaeus is short, he could still get up high enough to see Jesus. And so again, we could see this place where Jericho was, that it was a fertile land. It was a land where these trees could grow really well. And so it was a very easy place for Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector of the day, for as people came through town, they were taxed heavily. And so Zacchaeus was very well off. And so you and I think many of us moved to this country because it is well off. And we do have so much to be thankful for. And so what's our heart about it? Okay, let's see. Let's look at the second heart here. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. So Mark chapter 10, we see this young man who comes to Jesus. This story is just funny to me when you read it. We're going to pause as I'm reading it just to kind of unpack it a little bit. So Mark 10, 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell at his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, don't defraud, honor your mother and father." Listen to his response. "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." I actually have a question about that. Since he was a foolish young boy, he's kept every commandment. I really challenged my thinking on that. I was a young boy once. Honor your mother and father. Don't steal, don't lie, don't blow things up, don't kick things, don't jump off things. I really have a hard time saying that I've done all these commandments to a T. I have kids who never grew up like me. They grew up in the pastor's home. They couldn't even say, "We've never dis," you know. There's only one sitting there this morning. The other one's got the power and the buttons, actually. She's going to put up all kinds of funny things. Okay, this is just reality. No one's perfect. I love Pastor Ben's message last week on perfection or perfect. Did a great job of that. Really helpful. I mean, seriously, that was just one of your best messages, as always. Every time you preach, it's always the best message because you just keep getting better and better. It was brilliant. Verse 21. One thing you lack, Jesus says to this man who thinks that he's got it all together. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you're going to have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Wow. That's actually a big ask. I want to just think about this for a second. This rarely happens where God would ask you for every possession you have and give it away. But if God ever asked any one of us, I would hope that you would see it through the lens of what a privilege that God would ask me to honor him in this way. That we wouldn't be like locked to our like, "Oh God, no, I didn't quite hear that. Maybe half, Lord, just can we meet halfway?" No, that God, you would just be like, "God, I'm all yours. and I want to be obedient to you, whatever you ask me. So again, probably not going to happen to any one of us possibly in this room, but if it did, let's have a right perspective about it. If we think about Zacchaeus, God showed up in his life and he let half of it go. He said, if I've wronged anybody, that means there's a good chance he did wrong somebody and he knew it. And he was like, I'm going to give four times as much back to that person that I've wronged. I'm waiting for the phone call from my mortgage company to say, I wronged you, $84.88, and I want four times. And I'm waiting for that phone call, 4 days times four. It's almost biblical anyway. I'm just having some fun with you. I don't know if they served Jesus in that bank there, but anyways. Jesus hammers this home on the Sermon on the Mount when he says this. Let's go to Matt. We're in Mark. Let's just go back just a couple. Matthew chapter 16, Sermon on the Mount here. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is to emphasize this idea that I want to put my treasure in eternal things. I want to put it up into heaven, and I want to be generous to help the kingdom to grow. I don't want to invest my time and my finances here on earth in possessions and entertainment where they'll simply perish away. Now, you have to have fun in life, and it's okay to spend money like that. I've spent a ridiculous amount of money. My son Emmanuel's not here right now in front of me, so I can have some fun with him. But we went down to the Daytona 500. It was awesome. And then I got an email saying, hey, you can put your kid in the car if you want, and he can do a couple laps. It was not cheap, but it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I really felt the Lord was saying, do those kind of things. You know, I get to go up to Yukon. I get to go fly fishing with a bunch of my buddies. It doesn't cost me really a nickel. I just go sit in a boat all day. Have experiences. It's not what it's referring to. Live like that. Invest money. Save for retirement. Be generous. But have the right heart about your wallet and your money. That's what's the point of the message is. Put it in eternal things. I've shared a couple things with you this morning. I said to you quite a few times over the last 6 months, I wanted to share a couple things about Omni and I's life with you, if I could do that this morning. We've got years and years together. I'll keep unpacking more and more of it with you, but just a few things, if I could say it like this, because I think the conversation, you know, we have to have in our minds, you know, we can have different opinions, and what we think about it, about money in our heart is maybe some things we've learned, but we really have to have a conversation with our money too, because money will talk to you. Have you ever had money kind of like, oh, can you please give to something? And you're like, oh, absolutely. Then there's kind of this hesitation, like, maybe I'll just give half of the money in my wallet or something. I always love saying to that kind of thought, like, I'm going to give twice as much. I'm going to shut that voice up. I want to be generous. I want to do what God is asking me to do. Okay, so the first slide I have here is we have sponsored children in our home. And I want to tell you exactly why we have these. And so the first explanation is that each one of our children was born on a certain day at a certain year, so we sponsor a kid with the same birthday. So our kids grow up with this kid as they grow. They're overseas. We help sponsor them. They're at an orphanage, and we help get them into church and get them some good teaching, and they get to hear the gospel with the hope that one of them would come to Jesus. And the hope that they would be able to share it with a family member or maybe in their village, that's the hope. And the other reason we do that is, so when I walk in my house every day, money doesn't have a hold on me. And I look at that wall and say, I invest money in those areas. And I don't have a problem doing that because that's most important to me. I put money all kinds of places. I've got really nice stuff too. I understand that. But I also put money in the kingdom with hope that somebody would come to Christ. The second thing that I do, this is just me personally now, being super transparent, so please don't judge me. I used to work in retail, and it was so sad in January. People would come in with just really old bills and things, and so I got a slide here right next to my bed. I hang money on the wall, and if we let the money go to the bank, they would just shred it and burn it because it's old, but it's still currency. You can still use it and spend it, but I was sad that people were so hurting that they had to go back into their old kind of like, you know, grandma gave me this old bill or something, and they'd have to use that to get food on the table. Oh, that was really sad to see. I hang that on my wall so that every time I go to bed, you know, it's probably worth about $100. And so every time I go to bed, I look at that wall, I think, that doesn't have any hold over my life. That I'm willing to just even hang it on the wall. I will not bow a knee to that mammon. I will not bow a knee to money. I will bow a knee to my God. And if God asks me to give, I feel a privilege to be able to give to him. So I want to daily remind myself that I don't have no tie to money. If I have money, so let's be realistic here in this church. Okay, good example. I showed you how we've been doing the last 3 years. Way above budget. We look in our services, we have to keep buying more chairs and pushing out walls and moving sound booths in the future so more and more people can come to our church. It's easy to be happy and grateful and thankful right now. But what happens when the money's not there? Or maybe there's less of us here, or things aren't going as well. Is my happiness dependent upon numbers and money? It really shouldn't be. And I know that we struggle with that from time to time. And I know that even when mortgage, I was struggling with that because I was like, I'm losing $88.45. And then I was reminded, I said, God, you are losing $88.44. You know, you should do something about this situation. And I just feel like God is like, it's just money, man. And how are you going to interact with those people that did you wrong? That's a challenge, man. I hope you feel that challenge as well with me. So what do we do with that thought, eh? How do we handle that? It gets me to think about this idea that God up in heaven looked down at his creation and he was burdened that we were separated from him. He was so burdened that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us so that we could be in right relationship with him. And can you remember that day? For some of us, it was most recently. For some of us, it was years ago. But what did that cost God? What did that cost Jesus? In light of that, what real value do we have on money? I mean, I have salvation. I have freedom in Jesus. God, if you ask me for anything, it's all yours. I already have received the greatest gift that I could ever receive. I don't want my life to be bound up with money. I want to be so generous. I want to do whatever God asks me to do. I want to give whatever God asks. I want to go wherever God asks me to go. That's the blessing of it. See, the thing is that we receive all the blessing and all the reward. It costs God everything. And we're just inheriting all the fruit that God has laid out for us. What is that worth to us? It's worth everything. I don't want to hold a nickel back from God. Whatever he asks me to give, I want to give it. I wanted to do this thing with you this morning, and I won't do it. I didn't feel it was right, but I wanted to get $1,500 of my own money, and I wanted to get 300 $5 bills, and I wanted to give each one of you a $5 bill and say, this thing has no power in my life. This thing has no hold over my life. But I know that sometimes it can get misconstrued. It can be, well, how much are we paying this pastor? And I just give all the church's money away, and you know, the list can go on and on and on. But I just want you to know, like, be willing to serve, be willing to give, be willing to share with whatever God puts on your heart so that you break that. Sometimes you're going to keep revisiting this conversation when people keep pushing on your money. But just keep saying, God, you've got my back. You've got my best in interest. I don't have to worry about that. You know, when I go through these marriage counseling, these premarital counseling sessions, you know, money is in the top three. Don't let money be a hindrance in your relationship. So important. Earthly relationship. Don't let money be a hindrance to your heavenly relationship either. Amen. Let me just pray for you this morning. Father, grateful for your word. Grateful for the truth of your word. Thank you that as we unpacked this concept about our heart and about you and about our money, thank you that you are here, Father, that your peace was here, that we can look at this in a godly manner, in a positive manner, and we can walk out of here going, wow, I really felt God speaking to me today. And so, Lord, we just give all of that to you. We trust you with that. Lord, as we've trusted this church into your hand for 90 years, it's your church, and what are you going to do with it? And as you speak to us, though, Lord, we're a part of that church. We're part of that story. Over 90 years, we're so thankful, so grateful. Lord, I pray that each one of us would only bow to you, that our knee would only bow to one God, not other idols or other gods. And however that plays out, it's all individual. Whatever God is saying, he's saying to you. Whatever the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart and your mind, allow him to do that. So thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.